Find, if you would, please, in your Bible, the 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 will be our text this morning as we are continuing our study through the book of Ecclesiastes and through this series that we have entitled, When Worlds Collide. We are looking at this book as Solomon has written it in an experiment that he did in his life. Solomon, the wisest, wealthiest man to ever live, embarked on an experiment to find the meaning and purpose of life. And he tried to find the meaning and purpose of life to see if there would be any profit in life from a perspective that would be independent of God. Solomon knew God. Solomon was blessed by God. Solomon had been used by God. Solomon had a tremendous understanding of the Word of God. But Solomon's heart got turned, and Solomon began to approach life from a different perspective. And he tried to find the meaning of life without God in a phrase that he described as under the sun. And so in Solomon's mind, his worlds were colliding. He knew to fear God. He knew that the wisdom of God to be what it was. But he was trying to find enjoyment by the wisdom of the world or by the wisdom of his own human ability. And as Solomon began to approach this experiment, he began to realize that this took a personal toll on him. It took a personal toll on him mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Solomon began to run the gamut of all of those emotions and all of those things. He began to see a change within himself. And pretty soon, Solomon was no longer filled with joy and life and laughter and a merry heart that doeth well like a medicine. He found himself thinking things that he should not think. He found himself feeling emotions that were discouraging and depressing and filled with despair. And Solomon found himself headed down a dark path. And matter of fact, it got so heavy upon him that he even began to think things about his own life that he shouldn't think about. I have told you before, I actually heard on the radio this week through a preacher, again, this phrase to be used, that all choices have consequences. All choices have consequences. Solomon had made a choice to try to live his life in the wisdom of the world. The consequence of that was crushing to Solomon. And so, praise the Lord, Solomon did not end his life in that position. Solomon is brought to an understanding that you will see as we begin to move forward into the book about the authority of the Word of God and the wisdom of God. And Solomon is now writing this book, not from that same position of despair, but he's writing it as an encouragement. He's writing it as a direction to you and to me and to our world at this time, because there is still in our day a search for the significance of life. And so Solomon has, we've brought us to the 7th chapter, and it's a turning point in the life of Solomon. And we found that last week in Solomon, or in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon is having to do something that sometimes you and I have to do. He has to eat his own words. And I don't know if you've ever had to eat your own words, but they do not taste very good. Matter of fact, they're bitter. Matter of fact, you can choke on them, and you will find that one bite of your own words is sufficient to never want to have to eat them ever again. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, Solomon makes a statement. He makes a statement about wisdom. And this wisdom that he makes this statement about is found in verse number 18. And this wisdom is worldly wisdom. This is wisdom independent of God and independent of the Word of God. Solomon says in chapter 1, verse number 18, "For in much wisdom, worldly wisdom, is much," what class? "Grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Solomon got to the point in his experiment where wisdom became a burden to him. Worldly wisdom. And it seemed like the more worldly wisdom that he attained and the more worldly wisdom that he tried to operate his life by, it brought to him grief. And the world's wisdom will always do the same thing. It will always bring more questions than it has answers. And so Solomon is beginning to be grieved by the lack of answers to what he is seeing. He's being grieved by the lack of explanation of how life is going down and the fairness of life and the cruelty of life and the estrangement of life and the separation of life. And so life is coming at him full speed, and Solomon is amassing this world wisdom, but two and two are not making four. By the way, when you want to find truth, all truth is found in the Word of God. And so Solomon's having a hard time in life. 2 plus 2 should equal 4. But in man's wisdom, and when you look at the order of your life, your 2 plus 2 doesn't always equal 4. And so Solomon comes to a point where he says, wait a minute, man, this kind of wisdom is bringing much grief. And so he went on his experiment. And when he gets to chapter number 7, Solomon says, uh-oh, I think I made a mistake. And he said, remember back then when I said that wisdom brought much grief? In chapter 7, he says, you might want to learn something. As a matter of fact, that was the title last week, "You Might Want to Learn Something." And it's the title this week as we look at part 2. And so in chapter number 7, Solomon is now going to express to you the value of not worldly wisdom, but of God's wisdom in your life. And remember, something tragic has happened in Solomon's life. Solomon has watched a man waste his life. Solomon has attended what should have been a celebration or a big funeral service in recognition of the accomplishment of a man. And in chapter number 6, Solomon tells the story about a man who was blessed by God and a man who God had enabled to amass everything the man wanted. God gave him wealth, God gave him riches, God gave him power, God gave him knowledge. This man, God was good to, and God enabled this man to amass much. But this man never reckoned God as the giver of good things. He never reckoned God for who God was. And this man lived a life of covetousness, and he lived a life enslaved to his appetite. And Solomon said, as I look at humanity, if there's one thing that's not satisfiable, it's your appetite. And so this man, who had been blessed by much, never knew satisfaction in his soul, in his inner core. Now, I want to say something, and I want you to hear me, and I believe it's based upon the authority of the Word of God. You can die with billions in your bank account, but if you don't have peace in your soul, you will die a broke man. The Bible says that when this man died, nobody showed up to bury him. Obviously, this man had children, and obviously he had lived a long time. Solomon exaggerated both of those, if the man would have 100 children, or if he lived two lifetimes, 1,000 years each lifetime. Solomon sees that this man really and truthfully wasted his life. And now Solomon is writing about that in chapter 7, verse number 1. If you look at that, Solomon says, "A good," what class? "Name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Now, Solomon's not trying to be morbid here. He's not saying that if you go out there and kill yourself, things will be better. He's not expressing that kind of ignorance or sinfulness. But what Solomon is saying is, it is natural that the day that you are born should not be as great as the day that you die. The day that you die should reckon accomplishment. It should reckon knowing God, growing in the Lord, worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord. It should reckon how God has blessed you. And so Solomon has watched this man who the day of his death was much horrible, more horrible than the day of his birth. And it was ludicrous because God had really enabled this man, but the man never reckoned God. And so what Solomon is trying to teach you and me is that how we live our lives, there should be the increase of the value of our life. He begins by telling us for that to happen, we need wisdom. Look at verse number 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his what, class? Heart. Now, I don't want to be morbid here, but I want to say something that's very truthful. You're going to die. You're going to die. We may be raptured, which I would rather be raptured than die. But ultimately, you're going to die. And Solomon says, to not understand that, to not come to the realization that you are not going to live on this earth forever, to understand that you have a day of birth and you have a day of death. Solomon says, now a wise man will lay the fact that one day I'm going to die, he'll lay it to his heart. Now, Solomon is watching a society eat, drink, and be merry. He watched a man who God blessed, who gave no thought about the day of his death, and all he did was live for the satisfaction of his flesh and of his appetite, and he never laid it to his heart. And so Solomon is trying to teach us that your life is precious. Your life is seasonable. Your life is but a vapor. And your life has an end point. And there's wisdom in knowing that. Therefore, once I know that, then I need to appropriate wisdom to make my life the most profitable that it can be. By the way, profit doesn't mean dinero. You didn't know I spoke. What is that? Spanish? Spanish. Okay. Okay. All right. So Solomon says, now, wait a minute. How you live your life is important, man. And a good name is rather to be chosen than precious ointment. And the day of your death ought to be way better than the day of your birth, especially if you know the Lord. And he goes on in verses 3 and 4. In verse number 5, he says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Now, listen. We live in a culture that is singing nothing but the song of fools. And the song of the fool has an absence of the fact that every single person in this room will stand before God one day. And Solomon says, now a wise man will hear this rebuke, and a wise man will lay it to his heart, that there is a wisdom that makes life profitable. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. Here's what he's saying. Wisdom is, what's that word? Good. With an inheritance. And by it, there is what? Profit to them that, now these last three words are important, see the sun. Now, we're used to this phrase, under the sun. Here the phrase is, see the sun. It's different. Under the sun was Solomon saying, my life, in the perspective of my life, in the passion of my life, is that I'm going to operate with human wisdom under the sun, which means independent of God. Now, if I want to be dependent upon God, I'm talking about above the sun. That would be the physical sun. But under the sun. Now he says, now wait a minute. Wisdom's, there is a wisdom that's not grieving. There's a wisdom that is good. And there is a wisdom that brings profit. Not vexation like chapter number one. Here he's talking about the wisdom of God. And he says there is a wisdom that brings profit as you see the sun or as you look at life. So as you look at life, you might want to learn something. Solomon says the wisdom of God. Look at verse number 12. For wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth what class? Life. To them that have it. Wisdom giveth life. There's a phrase out there. Dead man walking. Dead man walking. I would submit to you that we live in a society and a culture today with a lot of dead men walking. Pastor, what do you mean by that? We have a world that understands nothing about life because they operate with a wisdom that's solely humanistic and not from God. I'll give you an experiment. I don't think today would be the best day to do it. But I'm inviting you to the Sawgrass Mills Mall. If you go there today, you deserve what you get. I would invite you to go to the Sawgrass Mills Mall one day in the next couple of weeks. I'd invite you to get you something cold to drink, get you a little lemonade, get you one of those coffees, one of those frosted drinks. I would prefer it be non-alcoholic. I invite you to sit yourself on a bench. When I go to the Sawgrass Mills Mall, I like to go in at the Grand Lux Cafe. Anybody know where that entryway is? If you walk in there, they've got a bunch of trees that kind of come down over, and they've got benches all throughout there, and you can kind of sit there, and literally, if you sit there, you can see people from all over the world. And just watch their face. A person's facial expression will tell you what's in their heart. And I don't know about you, but as I look at the world, I see a lot of facial expressions that picture a lot of dead men walking. And dead men walking, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean people walking without the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean people living their lives without the wisdom of God. I mean people trying to live their life independent of God. And you can see the emotional drain, the physical drain, you can see it just begin to crush them. Jesus said, I have come that you might have what class? Life. And that you might have it more abundantly. And so Solomon said in the beginning of the book, man's wisdom will grieve you, but God's wisdom is good. And he says, those that have God's wisdom, it brings life. And then what it does is it enables you to look at our society. And I'm going to show you how he shows how society is not fair. He says, it enables you to look at our world and have true wisdom and be able to look and make profitable decisions and understand the world as it is moving on and moving forward. He says, we need the wisdom of God. And so we find, and we introduced last week that verses 1 to 6, that wisdom is profitable. I want you to go to verse number 7, and we'll begin. I've got five truths to give you on top of that. I hope to give them to you very quickly. Not only is God's wisdom make your life profitable, but God's wisdom will bring peace to your life. Verse number 7, surely, truly, that's what that means, of course, oppression maketh a wise man mad. And a gift destroyeth the heart. He's talking about bribery, oppression, and extortion there. These are ways that human perspective tries to get ahead in life. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of what class? Fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely, concerning this. In verses 7 to 10, Solomon is letting us know that God's wisdom brings a peace to our lives. He's saying how the world tries to get ahead through oppression and extortion and bribery. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. He's talking about the completion of stuff. Patient in our spirit is better than proud in our spirit. Not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for there it resteth in the bosom of fools. And what Solomon is trying to explain to us is that wisdom brings a peace to our lives. Do you know peace? Do you understand peace? As you look at this world, do you have peace? Does Donald Trump scare you? It amazes me. One man scares the world. Does Hillary scare you? One woman scares the world. And it's like all we can see is the world and the way the world presents itself. Let me just give you a verse. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Okay? So here's what Solomon says. He warns you about being a fool. Are you angry? The Bible says, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. If you're carrying anger in your heart, you're a fool. That's what the Bible says. If you're carrying anger in your heart, there's no peace in your heart. And your world should be colliding, because in the wisdom of God is forgiveness and the wisdom of world is revenge. And so Solomon is trying to teach us. He says, now I'm looking at the way the world wants to get ahead, and they want to slip everybody a 20 so they can cut the line. And they want to bribe this to get out of here. All of our politicians are bribing somebody, basically, is what it seems like. It seems like this is how even we negotiate as Americans our position in the world. It's all done under the table. It's all done by bribery. This is how the world gets ahead. And Solomon says that drives a wise man mad. And he says, now there needs to be some patience in your spirit, not some pride in your spirit. And God's wisdom will bring a humility to you. The man's wisdom will elevate your pride. He says, now man's wisdom, as you elevate your pride, anger comes rushing into the bosom of fools. And then he says, there's this mentality that develops. You begin to look at your life and you begin to look back and remember the glory days. And instead of living your life in the day, we begin to desire the glory days, and then we kind of are presupposing upon the future. And Solomon says, now when you ask, verse number 10, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire how. Wisely. So, are you living in the past? And are you presuming upon the future? Solomon says that's the world's wisdom. God's wisdom, we learn to live in the day. Help me with a verse. Teach us to number our days. By the way, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And there's nothing you can do about the past. So many people are scared out of their mind in the present. If there's any group of people that should know peace, it's God's child. Amen. Okay, so your world collides. And so as our world is colliding, and Solomon's world is colliding, he says, now you got two choices. You can either submit yourself to the wisdom of the world, or you can submit yourself to the wisdom of God. He goes on in verses 13 to 18, and he talks about perspective here. That wisdom will bring a perspective to your life. He says, consider, verse 13, the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Now, and what he's basically saying here is that God is sovereign. And God works in the way that God wants to work. And there's not always an explanation for life. But God makes things straight and they're straight. And you're not going to make them crooked. And God makes something crooked, you're not going to make it straight. We serve a sovereign God. He goes on in verse number 14 to describe this perspective as we look at this. And he says, in the day of prosperity, be what, class? But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Now, Solomon is saying, now, there is a wisdom that brings perspective. And the wisdom that brings perspective is that God organizes and orchestrates your life. Pastor, my life has went crooked all of a sudden, okay? Well, if you are not involved in some unconfessed sin and that brought about a consequence, but you've just been living your life, then God is working in your life. Now, if you use the world's wisdom, you're going to go and become a prepper. A prepper. You watch that show? It's awesome. It's awesome to watch fools not trust God. I know, you're getting a free one today. Pastor, I've got enough food stored in my basement to feed the world for 3 years. Great, I may even eat some of it. You're not invited anymore. Okay, I understand. But what do you do when year 4 comes along? What do you do when year 10 comes along? What do you do when the whole world's blown to smithereens and you can't raise one single crop? What are you going to do when all you can do is finished? You're going to do nothing. But hallelujah, at the end of my ability, my God does not fail. What are we doing? What are we doing? And Solomon says, now consider your life, have some perspective. There will be some moments in your life when you'll have prosperity and you'll be joyful. When's the last time you celebrated prosperity in your life? You mean like winning the lotto? No. When's the last time something happened so great in your life that you gave God glory? When's the last time you had a victory in your family? When's the last time something miraculous happened and you lifted up your hands and you said, to God be the glory for what you've done in my life? Is that happening in your home? Solomon says there will be a time when that will happen, but there will be another time when something awful will happen. When it will be such in a case where it will be considered adversity. And when that adversity happens, stop and consider. This one makes you lift your hands to give glory to God. Adversity makes you drop to your knees where you still should give glory to God. And Solomon says, now use some wisdom here, because God will bring you prosperity and God will bring you adversity. Huh? Yeah. Solomon says now, and when you have the wisdom of God, God is balancing your life. He's not going to give you so much prosperity that you get prideful. And he's not going to give you so much adversity that you become hateful. But God will take the prosperity to bless you, and God will use the adversity to work in you. And this is God balancing your life. Have some biblical wisdom about this. By the way, when you go through a problem, God's not dead. He goes on. Now Solomon says, now God sets this in your life so that you have to trust him. Now in verse number 15, Solomon says, I understand that life is tough to figure out. And he uses probably one of the greatest illustrations and the most practical illustration that people use today to try to put some kind of negativity toward God. Look at verse 15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. This is one thing he has seen. There is a just man that perish in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. And Solomon says, now listen. When you're looking at life, there are some things that are extremely hard to figure out. And he gives the classic illustration that's still given today. If God is so good, why do the Christians suffer and why do the unsaved get rich? Why, pastor, am I a Christian and I have barely two pennies to rub together, and these people over here, they're not saved, they live like hell, and they've got all the money in the world, all the houses, they get to do whatever they want. I'm over here suffering and they're over here surfing. I'm over here crushed under misery and they seem to be happy and go-getter, and all. And somehow this doesn't make sense that God let me down here. And Solomon is weighing this. And by the way, there's a very easy answer to why wealthy people don't have it as hard as you have it. Unsaved people. I get asked this all the time. Pastor, why can they be wicked and it seems like God blesses them? Well, I got news for you. God blesses everybody. Right. Now listen to this very carefully, because Jesus gave the answer to this. Jesus said about that mentality, they have their reward. Okay, what did Jesus mean by that? If you have a man who amasses everything he could amass, and he lives the high life, and that man never knows Jesus and is never born again, when that man dies, that man goes to hell. Matter of fact, any man that dies without being born again goes to hell. And Jesus said, they deny me, and so they're getting their reward right now. And they're living the high life. But one day they're going to die, and they're going to stand before me. And they will not have an eternal reward. They'll have eternal damnation. Now, I got news for you. I don't necessarily want my reward in this lifetime. I want to be rewarded with eternal life. And so those people over there, they don't know the Lord, and they're living it up now. But when their life is over, they got to stand before God as their judge. I have Christ in my life now. And yeah, I may suffer, I may be persecuted, I may go through certain things, but my reward is secure in heaven. And I don't want to reject Jesus Christ so I could live some kind of pleasurable life on this earth. This life is a vapor. And so Solomon says, now when you're analyzing perspective here, and you think, well, why do the righteous suffer and the unsaved man gets away with murder? They have their reward. He goes on to say in verse number 16, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? He's talking here about perspective and not conceit and being prideful and arrogant. Verse 17, be not overmuch wicked. So don't be arrogant and don't be wicked. Neither be thou foolish. Now look at verse number 17. Why shouldest thou die before, say that words, thy time. Now I know it's appointed unto man once to die. But I think Solomon understood something. We used to preach that that was an appointed time and you're going to die and nothing can stop that. When it's your time, it's your time. I'm not sure about that. I don't know about that. I'm not sure if you end your own life that that's God's time. Now, God knows what you're going to do. But if you kill yourself, you're a fool. If you knew how many people I have to talk to about suicide, it would blow your mind. Oh man, they don't look like you think they look. No. They don't look like you think they look. If you left here and you went walking down I-95 and you had the mindset, if a car hits me, then it's my time to go, you're a fool. That's called the sin of presumption. Go someplace high, jump yourself off, and splatter yourself all over the ground. God knew what you were going to do, but don't you dare blame God for your sin. So here's what Solomon is saying. Solomon says, the wisdom of the world was crushing me. The wisdom of the world is bringing about death before people's time. Now our culture, our young people are dying early, man. And Solomon is saying, why would you die before your time? Have some wisdom about your life. Learn to walk according to the word of God. He says in verse number 18, It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that, what are those two words, class? Feareth God shall come forth of them all. Solomon knew. Solomon says, now wait a minute. If you're going to look at human life with some perspective, you've got to look at it through the vision of God. You've got to look at it from the fear of God. You've got to look at it from the word of God. If you strip the word of God or the independence of God away from your perspective, human life doesn't make any sense or have any value. And so it's just people are ending their life. It just is not even worth living. It's grievous. It's vexation. But when you put on the word of God and you put on the wisdom of Christ and you see it through God's eyes, there's purpose in this life. Your life has purpose. I'm glad I know my life has purpose. I know I'm glad my life belongs to Jesus. Every day I wake up is a day for me to serve the Lord. My life is not just left up to chance or to fate. My life is directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And God works in me and God works through me. God works in you and God works through you. And there's purpose to life. Aren't you glad you know truth? He goes through in verse number 19. He says, wisdom protects you. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's why man needs to be born again, because there's no righteous man of himself. I hope you've been born again. You need to think what the pastor's saying. Listen very carefully. Ask yourself this question. Please ask yourself. Let your words bounce around in your brain. Have I been born again? Ask yourself. If this is heaven and I'm God, then you're standing right there. Sir, why do you get to go to heaven? There is only one answer to that question. So think about your answer, class. Heaven, God, you, why do you get to go? If you cannot communicate an answer in your brain that fits the word of God, you need to be born again. Wisdom is a defense to you. He goes on in verse number 21 and 22. I'll let you read those. He talks about patience. Let me close the message with verse 23. Solomon says, all this have I proved by wisdom. Now, this wisdom he's talking about is wisdom without God. I said, I will be what? Wise. Now, this is what Solomon did. Solomon said, I'm going to show you, God. I'm going to show you that there's enough wisdom in me to satisfy my soul. Can I ask you a question? Are you smart? Is there anybody in the room you would say you're a genius? I agree with that. Do you think you're the smartest person in this room? Don't tell me you don't think about it. We all think about it. So when you go to work tomorrow, are you the smartest man in the room? Are you the smartest woman in your circle? Do you feel like you are smart? We love to compare. Sometimes on the television, you'll hear him referred to, well, he's the smartest person in the room. Here's what Solomon said. I'm not only the smartest person in the room, I'm the smartest person on the planet. And Solomon said, I told God I can figure it out. And here's what Solomon found, if you would please look at verse 23. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise. But It was what class? Far from me. So let me help you just a little bit. And I want to be real tender here. You are not the smartest person in the room. I'm not the smartest person in the room. Matter of fact, if you took all of our IQ and added it together, Jesus could spit on his thumb and it would drown us in ignorance. There's no one smarter than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but we love to think we're better. We love to think we're the smartest. We go into interviews and we think we're smarter than the one asking us the question. I know what I'm doing. And Solomon said, it was so far from me. Look at the next verse. 24. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? Now he's talking about wisdom that's not within his ability. Now he's talking about God's wisdom. He said, now when I went with my own wisdom, I thought I was the smartest one in the room. But I realized as I approached life that my wisdom was insufficient. I realized as I looked at life, there were things that I could not figure out. There was things that were far from me. Now his summation is beautiful. But women, if you don't listen to me, you're going to get angry at Solomon. So just relax and listen to the pastor, and I'll explain it to you in a second. Look at verse 25. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom. And the, what's that word? Reason of things. To know the wickedness of folly in the foolishness of madness. Now, here Solomon's heart is turning in a penitent way. And Solomon said, man, I begin to realize that as I was living with wisdom under the sun, folly and madness and foolishness was just enveloping my life. He said, I was changing in my before my very eyes. My whole disposition is changing. And he said, I had to figure out what was going on. In verse number 26, and I find more bitter than death the woman. Now there's a statement. Pastor, did Solomon hate women? Well, he had 1,000. You make your own summation of that statement. Solomon loved women. He exalted women. He was not a mistreater of women. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, now when I began to look at why I was headed in this dark way, he said, I found more bitter than death the woman. Now, what kind of woman would be more bitter than death? Read. Whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. He's talking about the whore. He's talking about a harlot here. Verse 27. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. He said, I was very careful. Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among 1,000 have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man how, class? Upright. But they have sought out many inventions. Now Solomon has shown us the importance of God's wisdom as it brings profitability, peace, perspective, and protects our lives. Now he says, now wisdom makes life plain. And here's what it is. He said, when I begin to look for the world's wisdom and search out for peace, it brought a bitterness to my understanding. And he says, as I've looked at the world's wisdom, and the fruit of that is that the world has become immersed in sensuality. And here's Solomon, who was himself not satisfied in his soul by 1,000 women, but he knew the immorality and he knew the sensuality of his flesh. And Solomon says, as I'm looking at man live his life, it seems like that all man is consumed about is satisfying his flesh. And so man is living with a wisdom that enables him to, at the end of the day, be with the whore. And he says, I'm looking at life and I'm finding even more bitter than death is the lack of satisfaction in that kind of living. Now, if our culture is anything, it's immoral. Okay? And really and truthfully, the world's wisdom will lead you back to satisfying only your flesh. And Solomon says, as I have looked out over, it's so scarce to find anybody, one man. And then Solomon's worlds collide, and this is what he says. This is not how God made man. When God made man, God created man upright. God created man righteous. But man sinned against God. And since that moment, man has become creative and imaginable. And Solomon says, man is inventing inventions to satisfy his flesh. And Solomon looks at that and he says, it's bitter. It's bitter in their mouth. And that's what he's telling you, class. He's telling you this. Go live your life independent of God, and you will find that life will become bitter all the way to the bone. Amen? But there is a wisdom. Oh, it was far from Solomon in his humanity, but it was brought to him by God. That wisdom is the person of Christ. And Solomon said, as that wisdom began to be in me and unfold in my vision, I could look at life from the perspective of fearing God. And he says, I came forth out of life with that victory. He had to eat his words. The world's wisdom will grieve you. God's wisdom will bring good to your life. Which way are you going to go? Shall we pray?